ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
In case you think, oh, it was Jesus, Peter walked on water, so a man also walked on water. So if a lesser man could walk on water, what makes you think the first Adam had no capacity to walk on water and say octopus and say, you are octopus? God said dominion over fish, bird. He didn't have to set cage to catch bird. He just has to say, what's it? Sparrow, come down here. And sparrow would obey him and come down. See, Adam was a master because he was righteous. That's where I'm going. And what is righteousness? Is it as we define it today? Don't wear trouser. Don't wear skirt. Don't wear earring. If you wear gold earring, you are going to hell. When God didn't know what to do with gold, he used it to tar roads in heaven. He used gold to tar roads. Wearing it in your ear will make God sick. Okay. Adam was a master. He was. His body was not meant to die. We were supposed to continue like that. Because at times we need to first understand the original position so that when we see what righteousness did for us, we will know what we fell from. Adam was like God. See, you know the Bible says, Moses says, show me your, God said, you don't understand. If you see my face, you just spare me. Die. You know, some people, if I say die, some people will understand that. Die now. In the name, die. You know, I didn't put the name of Jesus because Jesus didn't say anybody should die. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You see? Yeah, I mean, the man was a master. He was. Body was supposed to live. He was supposed to function as God. Eve was supposed to live. They were supposed to be strengthened. We were supposed to colonize the earth. And just, well, I don't like that word. It's a bad word nowadays. But we're supposed to have dominion, rule over everything, spread around. You know, just go everywhere and just show God's glory everywhere. Make the earth look beautiful, which is what many of us would do for our nation. Because we were driving here this morning. I said, why is this place so dirty? That's part of showing God's glory. Some of us will be called to be agents of change in these areas. To make this country beautiful for God again. That will be a shining example for God. And God is calling you, so you respond to his call. And so he had dominion, he had mastery. But what happened is this. Satan came, Satan said, oh, I will short the story now. Just spoke with Eve, chatted with Eve. And then Satan said, did God say you should not eat of every tree? God didn't even say that. That's how Satan comes to deceive people. He twists the words. God just said one tree. Satan said, did God say you shouldn't eat of every tree? He knew once he said it that way, Eve will be tempted to have discussion. And that's the problem. You have too much discussion with the devil. When he comes around with you, just speak God's word and he will take off. Don't spend time discussing with him. Don't be going back and forth with him. He just comes. Learn from your leader, Jesus. Jesus will just give him one word. He will just take off. So give him word. That's why the words must abide in you. So Eve kept entertaining him in conversation. Oh, God didn't say this, blah, blah, blah. And then Satan said, well, the real issue is this. God knows that the day you eat of that fruit, you will become like God. And we say in Nigeria, the thing where you define for Sokoto, it did where? Should we do through that? Now, question, Genesis 1:26, were they already like God? So which like God do they want to become again? They were already like God. The very same thing Adam and Eve were looking for, they already possessed. And that's the thing at times, even in the body of Christ. Pastor, pray for me. This is where it's happening now. This is okay, Gbala. This is okay, Adura. This is this. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the greater one inside of you? Have you been made right with God? Then look inside, for what you look for is already on the inside of you. So they did, they fell. And you know, some people have this idea that Adam went to work and Eve just got that thing. Now used that fruit to prepare food. Adam just came back from, you know, all that work. And please put up that scripture. Genesis chapter 3, run down if you can quickly find that place. Adam now came back and Eve now said, I prepared this wonderful fruit for you. Eat it. And then he ate it and everything fell. That's not the truth. Adam was right there when devil was tempting Eve. You want me to show you? Let's go there. So when this woman saw the fruit, saw that the tree was good for food, this is Eve, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband. Eh? Where was Adam? You see, this is why in Timothy, Paul said it was not the woman that was deceived. So for some of you that want to blame woman for the problem we are in, it's not their fault. Paul said it was not the woman that was it was not the man that was deceived. It is the woman that was deceived. What does that mean? Adam was there. He knew this was wrong. He should have just said, Satan, get out of my kingdom. And Satan would have scampered, we say, in a hurry. But in a moment, he to entertain the thought. He wasn't deceived. He acted in the light of knowledge. He did not have a moral right to do it, but he had the legal right to do it. It was right there. He saw the whole thing. It was with her. Woman, have you been set free? But of course, we know. So that's why the Bible said by one man's offense, not Eve's offense. Adam was actually the one that committed the offense. He was the one God put in charge. And he should have stood his ground and said, devil, get out of this garden. And the devil would have left. Because Adam had authority over the devil. But he did not. He entertained the thought and he took it and he rejected God and he too had that same. And the truth about it is this. Satan actually just sold Adam a dummy. It was actually Satan that wants to be like God. Because we see that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. That he said, I will ascend. I will make myself like what? The Most High. So he sold Adam his own particular thinking. Adam bought it. He committed what I would call the unpardonable sin. As we see in the Bible, he rejected God. Satan became his master. Because the Bible said, to whom you listen to and you to obey, that person becomes what? Your Lord. And so what happened? Man became unrighteous. So this is the thing. This is the thing. Prior to that, like I started saying, and the Holy Spirit took me a little bit away from it, God said to Moses, if you see my face, you will die. So we say, no man has ever seen the face of God, which is true. But think about it. Adam and Eve saw God the Father face to face. Because we have not thought of where we fell from. They saw God the Father face. They know what his face looks like, even though you and I don't. They know. It wasn't, there was, why? Righteousness. They had right standing with him. They could go into his presence without any sense of fear, of guilt, or of shame. It was not a question of, but when they fell, now Adam, who had absolute knowledge, when they fell, God came and God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam could not even lie, He couldn't even be a good liar. God said, where are you? One question, where are you? Where are you? I'm in Lighthouse Church right now. Answer. Adam said, I heard your voice. I was afraid. I was naked. And I hid myself. Four answers. None of them is correct answer. When we get to heaven, I'll talk with Adam about it. You know, but what I'm trying to get at is, he went from being super intelligent to being super dummy. And then the man carried leaves. And sold the leaves. How can leaves cover you? So you can see how he fell from super intelligent to super dummy. Why, that light, the life of God that was in him, No more connection to that light. He couldn't act in that. So he fell from righteousness. And since that time, that concept of, Lord, we have come into your presence started. It never existed until the fall. And today we are still lying there. Lord, we have come into your presence. When he said, I moved out of that place and I moved into you. Why? Because God made him who knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Who knew no sin to be made sin for you and I, that in him Christ Jesus we might and I have become what? The righteousness of God. And God, Paul said, see, this God does not dwell in man-made temples. He moved out. He tabernacled himself in me. Jesus said, I, the Father, we will come and we'll make our abode in you. So it was not, it's no longer a question of, Lord, we have come into your presence. It's a question of, we are carriers of God's presence. See, if you understand this, fornication will not be a problem. Because you won't lie there and let a man be pumping you when the Holy Ghost is inside of you. Those who understand what I'm saying understand. You won't do that. When you know the Holy Ghost is inside of you, you won't. You will have reverence for the greater one that is inside of you. So righteousness is, we have that ability to come back in. So Jesus made a way for us. We can now go back to the Father. It's no longer a question of, hey, Lord, I'm just crawling into the gates of heaven. If peradventure you will let me in. No, he said, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So righteousness opened the way. One man committed the offense. One man paid the price. So let me say it this way. Let me use my sister-in-law. You were the one that ate the apple, right, in the garden. According to latest, what do we call it? Breaking news. You ate the apple, right? You were the one that ate the apple. So how come I am the sinner? Was I the one that ate the apple? Now Nigerians will talk in Lagos. I wasn't the one that ate the apple. So why should I be the one that should be responsible for the sin? See, the problem is not the adultery or the fornication or the smoking or the lying. That wasn't the problem. Those are just symptoms. The problem is the sinful nature. Go and check in Romans. Go and check in Daniel when he said he will reconciliation for iniquity will be made atonement. See, the problem is sin, the sinful nature. And out of that nature proceeded all kind of rubbish. That's why Jesus said, it's not the outside, it's from the inside. All kind of nonsense comes from it. So all the smoking, lying, cheating, corruption. You know, I was in our class. I always like to say this. I'll tell the student, what's the number one sin in Nigeria? Adultery. Number two, fornication. And then I was in Kaduna recently, and they changed it for me. And one student said, no, corruption. I said, it's true. Corruption might have become number two. You know, those are symptoms of an inner problem. And so Romans chapter 8 said the law was powerless. The law could not change the inside of man. It tried, but it couldn't. So why? Was it because the law wasn't good? No, Hebrews said the law is good. The problem is God found fault with the people. Man in that fallen nature did not have the capability to fulfill the law, which is God's perfect requirement. And so Jesus came and fulfilled the law for you and I. And so because the law was powerless to effect that change inside of us, Jesus came and effected that change inside of us. And so just so God will be fair and just to you and I, as you were not the one that ate the apple, you were not also the one that died on the cross. Do you see it? Just by one man's offense, sin reigned. By another man, the second Adam's obedience, justification came. It's easy for us to accept that by Adam we are all sinners. We call Romans 3:20, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Read the next verse, 24. Please put it up. What people say, I brought one Bible. Being what? Being made righteous. How? By sweeping the church. Nothing wrong with that. At least I can see we are excellent people here. How? Freely. By whose grace? God's grace. Through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So God is fair to you. You didn't hit apple, you didn't die on the cross. But if you believe by faith that you inherited the sin from our forefather who ate the apple, then believe by faith that you inherited the righteousness through Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a fragrance offering to God. Why? For God commended his love towards us. Romans 5:8. For God demonstrated, because people will say commended, 16:11. For God demonstrated love made me righteous. That's what we're talking about. For God demonstrated his own love towards us. How? In that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now hold on, we'll continue. Christ died. Next verse. Much more then, having now been what? Justified. The word justified is the same word as righteous. So having now been made righteous through Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath from him. 10. For if whilst we were enemies, we were reconciled through God, through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Love made you righteous. Not because of anything you did. He saved us. 1 Timothy talks about that. Not because of anything we did, but because of his love for us. So where are we going? Now I know my history. I know where we came from. I know the kind of authority and level of intelligence God designed for me. I know how my forefather and my foremother, if I can say it that way, fell from grace and I inherited it because their genes run in me. At times we start fighting ourselves. You are black, I'm white. We are brother and sister. We came from the same source. External forces have affected our flesh. And they've changed over the course of time. But we're from the same source. We're all from the same source. If only we knew that we'd stop all this tribalism nonsense we're doing in Nigeria. Anyway, that's by the way. Where were we? So we've been made right. So I know I fell from grace. I know the history. I know the mistake that happened. I know I inherited it. Now I know God saved me. And God made me righteous in Christ. Why? You know, people get into this problem, these hyper-grace people, and they start talking nonsense. And you don't have to confess your sin. You can live anyhow. You can do this anyhow. Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through to 10. So that we know, okay, God made me righteous. Love made me righteous. God loved me so much. He wanted my fellowship with him. Now I don't have to run from me. I can see him. I can talk to him on the inside. We have fellowship. It's no longer a case of pastor talk to God for me. Fine, don't get me wrong. I'm not undermining the office of the pastor. There is an office. But also we are all sons and daughters and you have access to talk to him. And at times God will, of course, because some of us are so gone far from hearing God, he will use pastor to come and talk to us and say, go and tell your brother that he should come and listen to me as to what I'm talking to him in his private prayer life. And then God will use pastors to bring us back there. So he puts them there to equip us, to help us. However, why did love make me righteous? But by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest anyone should boast. For we are what? Created to do what? Which God prepared. So there is a good work to be done. Paul said, shall we continue in sin and pray that grace may abound? No. We're righteous. We're free. Now, you're not trying to get righteous because you want to do something. You want to do that. You want to, you know, all those works things we do. But at the same time, if you've met the Lord, if you've received Zoe, eternal life, that's what Zoe is, you cannot help but do right. If pastor still asks to pursue you to do evangelism, you don't understand what I've come to talk about today. If you understand that Jesus died, he went to hell. Because we've not been taught that. People thought he just went to hell and went to slap Satan. No, he went so that the fire could burn him. I know that is news to some people. Read your Bible. If a sinner dies, where would they go? When he died on the cross, was he Jesus? He was a sinner. That's why he cried. Prior to that, he never said, my God. He always says, my Father. When God made him sin, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, my God. When did we start calling him God? And the Bible said the prayer of a sinner is abomination. As he said, God the Father turned his eyes away. I don't know him. Why? Because of you and I. He descended to hell. He burnt in the fire. On the third day, when God saw that the price has been paid, he said, you are my son. Today have I begotten you. That spirit went from the mouth of the Father, went into hell, entered Jesus' spirit, made him born again, quickened him, he rose up, made a knot of them. when I understand that Jesus descended and suffered for me, when I understand that if I get caught up to heaven right now, or if the Lord will decide to appear to you right now, well, let me say the heaven, that if I get caught up to heaven right now, it will not be difficult for me to locate Jesus. Beside the man, let's even say he puts his hand behind him and you don't see the holes. It will not be difficult. Why? Because there is no two type of Jesus in heaven. He's the only being in heaven right now that has a physical body. And the third head, the third member of the Trinity, will for the rest of eternity be in a physical body because of you and I. If I understand that, I want to go out and win the loss. Because love did that. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 5, we no longer regard any man from a worldly point of view. He said the love of God compels us, for we know that one died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for us. Love made us righteous. But our righteousness is to impact our church, to impact our society, to impact our nation, and to ask the Father, what do I need to do? So if you need anything from God, don't go to him timidly. You have the right to go in and obtain whatever you want as far as you find in his word. Be bold. But at the same time, as you spend more time to fellowship with him, the life of God will begin to catapult you from where you are right now and move you into a new realm where you also begin to function in the supernatural. You know, some people think only some people can lay hands on people, they will fall. You can. He said, this sign shall follow believing ones. He didn't say he shall follow apostles. He didn't say he shall follow evangelists. He said he shall follow believing ones. If an apostle is a believing one, he'll follow him. If a believer is a believing one, he'll follow him. And that sign is yours. And that sign is yours. And so we ought to be thankful that love made us righteous. But we also ought to understand that that righteousness is so we can go and be alive. And if you understand this, you won't be scared when they ask you to give bribe on that contract. Let the contract go. Fine. But God is able to make all grace abound unto you. Whether we like it or not, we must be light in our nation. If Christians still keep breaking traffic lights, keep giving bribe, and we call it PR nowadays, how do we shine light? Righteousness is so we can do that. But however, we are not trying to condemn ourselves. It's not what we did. We just know that Christ gave it to us freely. So I'm justified. I'm free. I can go and live my life freely. I don't have to be afraid of falling into this sin, that sin. Just live my life. And as you live your life, grace empowers you to live your life. But we also have a responsibility as the righteous to turn our nation around. You want to stand up with me and talk to God about this? Just say, Lord, I received this word. First, I thank you because of what you did for me in Christ Jesus. I thank you because I've seen from your word that I have made right and I have access into your place and I live in you and you live in me. Just let's appreciate God for that. It's such a great opportunity. And then begin to talk to him. Some of us, I believe, yeah, the Lord has spoken to your heart in some specific ways. How he wants you to move out, to be a light for him in this nation, to be a light for him in this church. Begin to say, Lord, I'm open. Lord, I'm going to obey. You remember I started the sermon by teaching about how obedience opened the supernatural. Some of us are not yet seeing that supernatural in our business because there are certain things God has dealt to you to do. Maybe for some of us to minister to the poor more. Maybe for some of us to get involved more in church work. Maybe for some of us to even relocate to a different place and do business. But you are not obeying because you're just like, no. But as you obey, the supernatural will begin to happen. It's not only in church we must see angels. In business places, we should see angels. The word of knowledge should function in business places. It should function in your market store. But the reason you've not seen it as you should see it is because you have not been open to say, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to just obey. I thank you for I am free in righteousness, but I would also go and be a light in this generation. And so, Father, we thank you and we give you praise and we appreciate you and we thank you for your word. I thank you for the seed that has been sown and I thank you for the watering you have used me to bring. The pastor have sown the seed in the house. You brought us to water it a bit. But you give the increase. And by faith, we thank you for the increase we have in advance. To you be all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, sir.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,